Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Some of it we were sucking up on the play action a little bit there with the play fake and opens up the middle. And that's when they've got good receivers and that's what 22 does to you. It makes you commit to the run. And so we could have done some other things too as well, and we'll look at it as coaches.
All right, welcome back to the Buffalo Bills postgame show on the Buffalo Bills radio network. Headed into the 1 a.m. hour, Bills lose a heartbreaker on Monday Night Football to the Tennessee Titans. Final in that one, 34-31. Just a quick recap, Josh Allen finishes the evening 35 of 47. That's 12 incompletions on 47 attempts. Kind of a nutty day for Josh Allen. A super efficient 74, almost 75% completion percentage. 353 yards, three touchdowns, and an interception. He was sacked three times on the evening. Rushing the football, not a lot of highlights for the Bills on the ground tonight. 23 carries as a team for just 82 yards, which is a 3.6 yards per carry average. Not good. The longest run of the evening came early in this football game, a 14-yard run by Devin Singletary. He ends up being your most effective back on the ground this afternoon, or I should say this evening, with five carries for 27 yards. A packed stat sheet for the Bills. And we, let's see, we got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 different receivers making catches in the game. Emmanuel Sanders leads the way yardage-wise, five catches in this one for 91 yards. Stephon Diggs has a nice day today, 9 for 89 and a score, and was just an absolute man-beater on third down and was responsible for several first-down conversions in this football game. Cole Beasley ends up another guy who I thought did a great job finding holes in the secondary and in the zone this afternoon. He finishes with seven catches for 88 yards. One thing to note is Dawson Knox left this game after completing that two-point conversion pass to Josh Allen with a right-hand injury. He did not return with a right-hand injury. Before we take a timeout and let our stations identify themselves across the network, let's grab a couple more phone calls and remind you that we're connecting with our fans, which is powered by Nextiva, the official communications partner, and by Premcom, the official telephone system of the Buffalo Bills. Power your business connection with Premcom. Let's go to Corey in PA. Corey, you're on the postgame show. You there, Corey? Corey going once, going twice. All right, let's head to the next phone call. Let's go to Leo in North Jersey. Leo, welcome, and good morning. You're on the Buffalo Bills postgame show.
Hi, it's Neil from North Jersey. Thanks for taking my call.
Hi, Neil. Yes, how are you? Sorry about that.
That's okay. I greatly appreciate it. A couple things. You know, in boxing, styles make fights, right? Ollie Frazier, and I think the Bills' win over the Chiefs was a statement that they could outscore the Chiefs and play offense on a high level. The problem, though, is that the Bills do not match well with the Titans. Their overwhelming physicality is something that I do not think the Bills have an answer for. And I think the two major issues are the following. I think they should have took the field goal. And I know you have Josh Allen, 11 for 12 on QB sneaks. But if you think you're the better team and you have the Titans' two top cornerbacks who are out on injuries, a simple little drag route, little jerk route to the corner, some kind of a play where you put the ball in his hands might have been a better call. Now, obviously it's possibly he slipped on that play on fourth down, but I think at the end of the day, I just think the Titans are too physical on both sides of the ball, And the Bills now have to learn how to beat teams that have overwhelming physicality.
Well,
and I think this is going to be a real issue going forward because this is going to be a rivalry. I don't know who said that.
It was me. No, I totally agree on the rivalry part. Here's the only thing I'll say, Neil, and I'll let you respond to this. How many teams do you believe bring the level of physicality offensively that the Tennessee Titans do? Because defensively, I just thought overall, I'm not worried about that team physically against the Bills. They gave up three sacks. I thought for the most part at the point of attack, they really did not run the ball very well, but they did whatever they wanted through the air, to your point, and maybe that's why in that situation you'll look to maybe throw a drag route or something in the end zone. But I think if you throw an incomplete pass or you don't convert that on fourth and one, Neil, all the talk after this game is the Bills trying to get too cute. Why didn't you just take your 6'5", 240-pound quarterback and fall forward for a half a yard? I believe it was the right play, but I want you to answer this, whether or not you believe there are teams outside the Tennessee Titans that really play the brand of football that they do. I can't think of one other team.
I mean, the Cowboys play a 1-2 with Pollard and Ezekiel Elliott.
But yeah.
Amari Cooper,
yeah.
And CeeDee Lamb on the outside. They got better receivers. I mean, look. Like you said, the Tennessee Titans are a unique team. They play old school 80s style, 80s NFC East style football where they're going to pound the ball down your throat. But the play action is the key. And you know, with Ryan Tannehill, like you said, Ryan Tannehill, because of that, has a phenomenal advantage. And now he has receivers to throw to. And that's going to make – as far as them winning a Super Bowl, I think they can win a Super Bowl, but I want to go back to the Bills for a second. I think the challenge now for this team is to learn how to beat teams that are more – because the Bills are really a speed defense. They're not a smash.
That's right.
Defense.
That's right.
They're a speed defense. They're finesse. They're coached well, but they now need to know how do we beat teams that beat us at the point of attack on the offensive and defensive side. And I think that going forward is going to be how the Bills are going to be successful. And if you look at the rest of their schedule, you know, they don't really play another team like the Tennessee Titans. They don't play a team that's going to, you know, like the Cowboys, I think, are the one team. You know, they have a two-headed monster running back, two really good receivers. But they have more balance than the Titans do. And I think, that's going to be – they're going to see each other again in the playoffs, I think. And they're going to have to find ways to adjust. I think the thing that was better this time than we've seen previously with Bills Titans is you got to spread them. I mean, you know, you have to spread this team out. The Titans do not have a great secondary. I think the game plan to spread them out was good. I think Allen had a really good game for the most part. And I think, again, it's styles make fight. It's going to be the spread offense of the Bills at going against that secondary versus the Titans' ability to dominate the line of scrimmage. And that, at the end of the day, is, you know, styles make fights. And that's what I think the Bills have to learn going forward if they're going to take another step and be the elite team in the NFL.
Yeah, thanks for the call, Neil. I think you make a couple of really interesting points. I'm not sure I buy that there's another team in the NFL that's built like the Tennessee Titans that can win like they can. So trying to – and listen, you're not – before this offseason, without an offseason, you're not going to change anything you are. I think ultimately the Bills tonight were victim to their young players defensively, Greg Rousseau maybe most pointedly, struggling against the physicality of this Tennessee team. There's no doubt the Bills out-physicaled the Kansas City Chiefs last week, and they probably got out-physicaled in this game against Tennessee Titans. The only thing is, I just don't believe... Listen, the Bills may face this Tennessee Titans team again, and I would welcome that matchup. I think the Bills should have won this football game. I thought they had the opportunities to. I think the Bills should be 5-1. I think they should have won this game. And I don't think they beat themselves. I think they lost on a really tough play. But I don't buy that, like, you know, they need to change the way that they're playing, or they need to better prepare against defenses who bring this style of football. That just pointedly, like, there might be two teams in football, with Tennessee being one of them, that can bring this type of physicality at the point of attack with their running game. Like, nobody else has Derrick Henry. If the Bills score 30 points, they should pretty much go undefeated. And I think the Bills defense laid a big egg today. All right, before we take a quick timeout, let's pause 10 seconds so that our station and affiliates across the Buffalo Bills Radio Network can identify themselves. You're listening to the Buffalo Bills Radio Network.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Seconds on the play clock, takes a snap, dives forward, and the Titans stop him. They stop him short of the goal line and the first down line. Titans take over, the crowd in a frenzy.
All right, welcome back to the Buffalo Bills postgame show on the Buffalo Bills Radio Network. Right there, you heard the sweet play of the game, and it's brought to you by Country Suite. It's all about the sauce. Unfortunately, this play of the game coming on the, in the hands of that Titans defense, which really did nothing all day to stop Josh Allen in the Bills passing game, but it was the running game that really let the Bills down in this game and unable to get the final half yard to convert on fourth down to give themselves an opportunity to win the game in the fourth quarter. Let's go back to the phones, and before we do that, reminder that we're connecting with our fans. It's powered by Nextiva, the official communications partner, and by Premcom, the official telephone system of the Buffalo Bills. Power your business connection with Premcom. Let's go to Cliff, who went to the game. Cliff, you're on the postgame show. What do you got?
Hey. First NFL game. Really fun. Nice fans from Buffalo that we met down there, and I'm driving back, so thankful to talk to somebody because my seven-year-old is asleep in the backseat. I was kind of surprised with the play calling. I thought that we would attack their secondary, and I know we had Josh Allen had a great game, but like every time that Zach Moss and Singletary ran the ball, I was kind of surprised that we weren't like attacking more. The atmosphere at that game was very intense and very, I never been to a playoff game, but it was a 50-50 crowd. It's probably a very neutral crowd. I hope that this game does not ruin home field advantage for us. I know Baltimore's the driver's seat. I'm not scared of Baltimore, but when you say that a running team like Tennessee, I think Cleveland.
Yeah, you're right about that. I definitely didn't consider Cleveland in that conversation. I would agree that Cleveland's probably that team. The problem is, I don't think Cleveland's a playoff team right now.
Well, we'll see. I think that with the seven teams in, I don't think that they're worse than Cincinnati. Cincinnati has played a little bit easier of a schedule so far. Cleveland had a lot of hard games at the beginning with KC, and so
It's going to come down to, I'll tell you, Cliff, it's going to come down to those matchups, the divisional matchups between the Bengals and Browns. I think if the Bengals can pull one or both of those games out, I like their chances. And just for everyone, I saw a tweet that I wanted to just mention on air, just for people keeping count at home. For a 17-game pace, Derrick Henry is on pace for 465 carries, 2,219 yards, 28 touchdowns, and 419 yards with 45 catches through the year. So this would be, you know, like an all-time season. He's not just running over the Bills. He's run over every single team that he's played. He is a unique talent to the league. I don't think anyone has ever quite seen, short of Bo Jackson, I think, is the only guy that I can remember that's been his size, that runs with his physicality, and for his body to keep holding up the way that it is, with taking teams' hardest hits, the teams that are playing physical with him. It's just an ultra-impressive thing to watch. But thanks for the call, Cliff. Yeah, I don't know how I feel about the take about them not attacking that secondary more. I think they did just about everything they wanted to do that secondary. I think you want to, at times, you know, I'll joke about it, and I have multiple tweets about it tonight during the game. I can joke all I want about the Bills having rushing attempts, but there is something to be said about trying to beat the team on the other side and trying to do it multifaceted, trying to do it in a more balanced way and turning around and handing the ball off. And I think the Bills needed to get a little bit more creative doing that. I thought the Bills lost the battle at the line of scrimmage today, and they're going to face some more good D lines throughout this season. I think for the most part, Tennessee's defensive line has been a pretty big disappointment to this point in the season. I thought Bud Dupree played an okay game today. Jeffrey Simmons is a stud on the interior of that defensive line. Harold Landry is a good pass rusher. He's probably the team's best edge player as it stands. So that's a good defensive line that to this point had been underperforming. And I thought played up to the standard that I think a lot of people thought that it would going into the season. Thanks for the call, Cliff. Let's go to Jim in Rochester. Jim, you're on the postgame show.
Hey, thanks a lot. Look, I may be all alone or in the minority on this comment. But look, that last play for Buffalo, we understand to some degree you got to be aggressive. You want to get in the end zone. You want to score that touchdown to get your win and get out of there. You'd really rather not have it going to overtime. But when it comes down to that, I don't care if it's old school and old fashioned. Take a field goal, tie it up, and take it into overtime. That is, you know, as great a player as Josh Allen is, you are still taking an awful big chance to try and punch it in.
Well, you know, I think I do want to mention the numbers in this case. 75% conversion percentage. Josh Allen had been stopped one time in his last 14 fourth down attempts with a yard or less to go as a quarterback sneak. And the only time he didn't get it was on a fumbled snap. And secondly, you have a 75% chance of converting it with over a 60% chance of winning the football game if you convert it. If you kick the field goal, go to overtime, you have a less chance of winning the football game than you do. You have a better chance of losing it, a 42% chance of winning if you kick the field goal and go to overtime. It's, in my opinion, Jim, I'm not saying you're wrong. The numbers would indicate that your thought on it is flawed. Now, it doesn't mean that other teams
not
in this
from
instance.
Not my experience of watching this league for 41 years, but go ahead.
Hey, no, I get it. I've watched the league for my lifetime too, and I'm just going to tell you that the numbers say that in that situation, you go for it. You need a half a yard, and you could not, Jim, they did not stop the Tennessee offense one time in the second half. You don't want to go to overtime and risk, because then guess what you're doing? You are essentially putting the game up to a coin toss. If you lose the coin toss, it's a 50-50 chance that you win or lose that. And if you lose that, did you have the confidence that the Bills were going to stop that team from scoring 7 points and ending the game on a walk-off?
Yeah, I understand that they really weren't doing anything defensively, especially in the second half. They weren't, mostly what they weren't stopping is they weren't stopping Derrick Henry. But you also mentioned so far in this whole post-game show, I mean, nobody's been stopping Derrick Henry.
Correct.
For the last couple
Correct.
Of years. We know that. Right. But you know what? I mean, where was Josh Allen trying to run that in from? From the 3-yard line? Where was he? I don't remember.
In the quarterback sneak?
The very last play where they stopped him.
I mean, it might have been like the 2.5-yard line, 3-yard line.
Okay, 2.5-3-yard line. Don't forget what else we've been talking about for the last hour or so. They were running that whole game, the Bills' offense, at 3 yards a carry. So, I mean, you're...
Well, they only needed to get the first down, Jim. The first down was, it was fourth and half a yard. If they could, what they were trying to do was convert the first down and give themselves a first and goal. They weren't trying to score the touchdown. They were trying to put themselves in a first and goal situation and give themselves three or four shots at winning the football game. That's why you go for it in that situation, because then you're giving yourself multiple opportunities. Listen, the Bills convert that and they can't get in the end zone and it's fourth down. They're kicking the field goal and getting it to overtime. But in that situation, with half a yard to get the first down and then to give yourself three opportunities to take shots at the end zone before settling for a field goal, I will take what they did 10 times out of 10, because I think in my opinion on this, Jim, is you don't play for the field goal. I think you play to win the game, and the numbers back it up in this situation. I think it's less than 50-50 you win that football game, you get to overtime. You have to hope to win the toss, go down and score 6 points and win, and you just need a lot of things to go right. And if I'm Sean McDermott, knowing my players, knowing the confidence I have in arguably, you want to talk about the most physical runner in the league on the other side in Derrick Henry. Name a more physical quarterback who runs the football. I think it was a bad break. I think he slipped. You know, and not only that, Jim, Deion Dawkins got blown off the football. I mean, he doesn't get blown off the football. It's an easy fall forward, and you're probably calling in the show saying you didn't love the play, but it worked, so onto the bye week and onto Miami. It's tough. I will not, in this instance, take a shot at the coach and say, it was a bad play. I don't believe it was a bad was I believe it was the right call. And I believe that the play call was the right play call. I just don't think they got the result. And that is just going to happen from time to time in the NFL. I would rather, though, Jim, lose, going for a win than playing for a tie, if that makes sense.
Well, no, that wasn't the point I was trying to make. Of course you don't play for a tie. I agree with what you were saying earlier. You do play for the win. You don't play for a tie. It's just there's some situations where it just seems like, you're taking a little bit too much of a chance. And
and Jim, at the same time, if they don't get called a hold, if Leonard or whoever it was, they're the number nine, their linebacker, their special teams linebacker, he doesn't get called for a hold. Who knows? I mean, who knows? And Isaiah McKenzie's the hero of this game. So I think this game was just. It was, the best way to put it, his game was drunk. A lot of things were happening in this game. Neither defense was making stops. I do not blame, Sean McDermott saying, what this was, Jim, is I think even more than having confidence in the offense on that play call, I think he was worried about his defense. I think he was worried about putting his defense back on the field. And I just, after watching that second half, I don't know that I could blame him.
To your point earlier, too, when you're saying all they had to do was get a half yard for that first down and give yourself a few more chances. I get it. I don't disagree with you on that. We also got to remember, we're not talking minutes left in the game. Wasn't there also 12 seconds left in the game? You're running out of time.
They still had a timeout. They still had a timeout. So they okay. if you have I think it was 22 seconds.
I thought it was 12, but maybe you're right.
Yeah, and regardless of where it was in sort of that the grand scheme of things, they still had one timeout to work with. If anything, what I will say, the one bad call that I don't like, Jim, is the timeout they took with 40 seconds left on the clock. They take a timeout with 40 seconds with that defense on their heels. Take that clock down to 30, 25 seconds, then call the timeout. I just thought that I didn't love the time management in that final sequence, calling a timeout with 40 seconds to go. I didn't love that at all. But short of that, and that's me, Jim, nitpicking. There's really nothing I disliked about that final sequence, and there's nothing I would take back. I think, Jim, if they run that play 10 times, they probably make it 9.
Well, maybe so, but it didn't work this time. And even if we go and say hypothetically they did what I was suggesting earlier, you go the old school way, you kick the field goal, you tie it up, you go into overtime. There's no guarantee. Number one, that I know you say it comes down to a coin flip. Well, okay, well there's no guarantee that Tennessee is going to get the ball first. Buffalo may very well get the ball first and march down the field like they've been doing the whole game. And plus, we're not dealing with the overtime rules that were instituted in 1974, where first score wins. At least there's a little bit more of a chance now where, both teams are probably going to get the ball. you know, the way the overtime rules are when they changed them, what, 5 years ago or whatever?
Yeah.
I realized Tennessee was moving pretty well, but they didn't exactly, you know, they didn't exactly score 8 touchdowns in this game.
No, but again, Jim, I mean,
on every single drive.
The Bills, they did in the second half, though, short of settling for one field goal. I mean, thanks for the call, Jim. I appreciate the back and forth. I thought it was a good conversation for that each of us had there. I will die on this hill. There is nothing about that final sequence that I would change. And again, I believe this with my heart of hearts. The Bills run that play 10 times. They convert it 9, and they happen to run the play, and he slips. Deion Dawkins gets blown off the ball. Listen, that's something Deion Dawkins is probably going to want back.
Okay, so we're the Bills postgame show, so obviously we care about that last play. The Titans return guy blew his knee out.
Yes.
Also slipping on the grass.
Yes.
So, like, I wonder about the field there a little bit in that regard, because that's, you know, a big play that happens simply because, like, whoops.
We are in the Lord's year 2021. We are approaching, Corey, 2022. How every field is an artificial, I will simply not understand.
It's probably just random chance. I think if it was a significant issue over the course of the game, Sal would have said something like,
sure,
they're changing their cleats out.
But you're right. I mean, another guy, their kick return legitimately blew his knee out on that surface.
Yeah, like, and it's because it looked like he just ran into his guy,
and
realize
it's nighttime,
what happened.
It's nighttime. It's not cold, but I'm sure it's a little slick, a little dewy.
Right.
Like, that's kind of what it looked like.
It happens.
Out there.
Listen.
Yeah.
It's tough to come down to that last play like that.
I just don't believe getting that game to a coin flip is earning your head coach any marks.
I don't mind making the play. I don't mind taking the shot.
Your coach, Sean McDermott, in this game, comes off looking way better in a loss in that situation than he would have kicking the field goal, winning the coin toss, walking down the field and winning. I feel better about Sean McDermott in a loss based on the decision making he showed tonight, which is every single one of us has been saying, go for it.
Yep.
Last week against the Kansas City Chiefs in the pregame, do you know what we said all pregame? Don't get into fourth and short situations and kick the field goal.
Don't go for the momentum.
You are all pissed that he kicked field goals earlier in this game. So which is it? Which do you want? Because you can't have it both ways. You can't be mad when he settles for field goals and in the situation where you need him to make that call. You need him to have the conviction and the trust in his team. And the thing that scares me is this will make him gun shy again to go for it. When that was the right move. Every single time he showed the confidence in his quarterback and his team that he should have. And statistically speaking, that's all you want to ask of a head coach is do the smart thing. What do the numbers say is the smart thing here to do? And the numbers overwhelmingly confirm that the best play in that situation was exactly what they did. And again, their quarterback, who in fourth and short situations was 13 of his last 14 in fourth and yard or less, the only time he didn't convert was on a fumbled snap. Take those chances every day of the week. If it was the Super Bowl, we'd all be in it thick right now. But I would much rather lose in that manner than kicking a field goal and leaving it up to a freaking coin toss.
And in that situation, the timeout doesn't help you.
No, it doesn't.
Because it doesn't help. All it does is give the defense time to rest and take a breather before you line up and run that play.
Sheesh. Just reading a tweet here. Josh Allen versus the Titans secondary on targets under 20 yards. 33 of 38 for 94% adjusted completion percentage after throwaways and drops. 293 yards and 2 touchdowns. That is about as good of a performance from your quarterback. If your quarterback has that performance, you should win 99.9% of the games you play.
And they lost by 3 in the last play.
Today's game is not about a final play at the line of scrimmage. It's about the Bills' inability to make any stops in the second half. That's what this game's about. And yes, the Bills did in the fourth quarter. I do want to blame a little Josh Allen on that second to last drive. He's going for the throat.
instead of taking on that second and 17, he throws the ball to Kumerow out of bounds. He falls away, and it's third and 17. Instead of taking a 7 or 8 yard gain and giving yourself a third and 10, third and 11, a manageable play considering a third and 17 was simply not going to happen. So if you want to blame Allen for any of that, maybe it's that drive. But again, one stop. You got to get a stop if you're the defense, and you just were not able to all second half. It's just that's the situation that played out.
They did not have an answer for the play action.
They didn't. And Ryan Tannehill at one point in this game was 4 of 12.
Yeah, because he stinks.
He stinks.
I'm gonna come away from this game angry about that.
Yeah.
That you got beat by a drought quarterback.
Yeah.
That's annoying.
That's definitely annoying.
But even the drought Bills teams won games like this. They won stupid games like this.
Yeah.
They probably shouldn't have, and they got lucky, and they got a turnover here or there, or the defense came up and made a big stop, even though they had
I'm
EJ
thinking
Manuel
of
quarterback.
2016 against the Green Bay Packers at home with Bakari Rambo. That's what I'm thinking.
Right.
Like Aaron Rodgers.
These games happen.
They do. Let's grab another phone call. Let's go to David in California. My voice is getting ready to go here. So, David, what do you got for me, my friend? You're on the postgame show.
Hey, buddy. Here's the situation. I have a simple question with the prerequisite. David Vinci and Evan Bryant from California. We've been listening for 15 years, 7 years from California. We've been listening since the Sabres were in the 2007 playoffs. 31-34, right? But my question is, did the Buffalo Bills lose in the fourth quarter, or did they lose in the first quarter of this game by kicking two field goals less than 30 yards to start this goddamn game? Thanks, buddy. Let me know.
Well, thanks for the call, Dave. I don't know. I mean, I think it's a fair question to ask about losing this game in the first quarter, in the first half. I think early in that football game, you take the points. 4th and 3 and 4th and 5, if I'm not mistaken, were the two times that they kicked early field goals, a 23-yard field goal and a 28-yard field goal. If you want to gripe about that 4th and 3, maybe I'll listen to you. But here's the thing. Here's what we can't do. We can't talk about that and then also be mad about the fourth quarter. So we just need to pick one of the things we're mad
about. I'd rather analyze the play calling that took place on those drives then complain about kicking the field goal. Like, I'm upset it got to fourth down in the first place. Like, why couldn't they choose to run better plays? Why were they so committed to the run at that stage of the game when I think their best weapon is their quarterback and he should be throwing the football in that case? And honestly, like, I don't remember them running a lot of play action all that much in the game.
The Bills.
So, like, if you're running the ball in as much as it felt like they were trying to in the first quarter and in the beginning of the second quarter, in theory, you should be doing it to set up the pass or setting up the play action that's coming later, like the Titans did, and that worked effectively for them. And the Bills didn't do that all that much with it. I think they were just running the ball to run the ball, and it didn't get them anywhere. That was frustrating. There's just a lot of frustrating stuff. It was against the Titans.
It is always against the Titans.
It's good to have a team we hate. It's like, and I mean this sincerely, it's good to have a team that we're good and there's a team that legitimately we can be mad at. That doesn't exist for the Sabres and for the Bills
for a long time it didn't exist either.
How
could it exist for the Sabres?
We don't have a dance partner in the AFC East anymore because we've all passed each other. So the Bills going up and everybody else going down. So we don't have an equal there. So we need somebody else to hang out with and to have a problem with every year. And if it's going to be the Titans, fine. But it's nice to have that kind of sports relationship again.
We have a network break here. Do we want to take it now, Corey? Do you want to wait 4 minutes? We have to account for another break because we've got player sound coming up next. We're going to hear from Micah Hyde.
We have two breaks remaining. We have a network break and a local break. The local break gets us out at 55:50.
So 35 is still good considering both of those breaks.
Okay,
breaks. We'll take another phone call then. Let's do it. Let's go to Kevin in PA. Kevin, you're on the postgame show. Welcome, Kevin.
Hi. It's good to be on your show.
Thanks for coming up.
Guys all the time. I'm a transplanted Buffalonian, so it's always good to keep in touch with you guys. I'll be quick. Offensive line, very disappointing performance in my mind. both on the run and on the pass. I think they protected better in the second half on the pass, but the offensive line, and, you know, Deion Dawkins, love the guy, but you know what? How many penalties has he been called for this year in five games or six games? Probably like 12 or 13?
He's had quite a few. I would agree. I've been less than thrilled with him.
They've been in key situations too. Like, you know, we've lost first downs because of him. But you know, because I want to be quick. The defensive line. You know, we obviously cannot still protect against a good running attack. And when we run into a team that has both a good running attack and a decent passing attack, which, by the way, it drives me crazy that Ryan Tannehill killed us today. But
I know.
if we run across other teams, you know, especially later on in the season and in the playoffs, that have a decent running attack. I know this sounds silly, but, you know, take away Henry's 76-yarder. The rest of the way, we held him pretty darn well.
Yeah, but, and they've had his number historically. You know, yeah. Like he hasn't rushed for 100 yards in their last four meetings.
But the thing that kills me is that Ryan Tannehill is the one that beat us today. It wasn't anybody. I mean, you can blame it on, you know, we had some bad maybe coaching decisions there. I would have kicked the field goal myself because the way I put it to you is this. In the context of a game. Now, you can talk about your analytics and your statistics and everything, and I respect all that. But in the context of the game, as the way it was going, we were not playing well. So you take the field goal and send it into overtime and hope for a coin flip or whatever. We were not in a position to act like we were in charge of that game because we were not. They were.
I don't know, Kevin. Thanks for the call, first and foremost, and thanks for listening and giving us a shout. I don't know. I'm of the belief that because of the exact reasons you lay out, that's why you try to get that you end the game in regulation. If you're not playing well, why do you want to give the Tennessee Titans more opportunities to score touchdowns? You don't. And that's why I think, you know, Sean McDermott decided that he needed to go for the win. And again, I am not here tonight to blame Sean McDermott for this loss. I just think that they didn't make the play. And it's not that Josh Allen didn't make the play. I think I want more from Deion Dawkins, generally speaking. All right, I'm going to take a timeout. We're going to take a network break here. On the other side, we will hear from Micah Hyde, Jordan Poyer, Josh Allen, Cole Beasley, and Tremaine Edmonds. So a whole bunch. That's all coming up next year on the Buffalo Bills Radio Network.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
All right, following tonight's disappointing 34-31 loss, we heard from several players in the locker room, including Josh Allen and Cole Beasley. So here they are after the game.
Didn't work out in our favor, obviously. Didn't have the greatest footing. It happens. It's game of inches. You know, the play before was pretty close, too. Didn't turn out in our favor today. We were 2-5 in the red zone. We can't do that against a team like this. So, you know, a lot of shoulda, coulda, wouldas. But at the end of the day, you know, 4-2 into the bye week, you know, going back to last year, taking a loss the way we did against Arizona, Hail Mary bye week. This is a resilient team. I got no doubt that, you know, we're going to use this to fuel us and be ready to go in 2 weeks.
Josh, you said you didn't have the greatest footing. Did you slip, and had you noticed footing as a problem leading up to that?
I mean, I was just trying to find a window to get in there, and you know, quarterback sneaks aren't the funnest play by any means. You know, I got to find a way to get a first down there. You know, so it happens.
Josh, obviously you guys got to go back and look at it, but as you're talking about it, going through it on the sidelines, what were the issues early on in the red zone?
Just not executing how we should. You know, shooting ourselves in the foot a couple times with penalties. You know, I gotta be better for us, you know, in the red zone. So it's no secret, 2-5 again against a team like this, it's not going to win you a football game. And, you know, we go 3-5, we win that game. But, again, a lot of shoulda, coulda, wouldas. That's a really good team. They had a really good plan. Obviously, on offense, they've got some really good players over there. So you can't give them those opportunities and not convert, you know, when you got to put six on the board.
Josh, did you feel like you had that first down on the play before the sneak? And did you get any explanation as to why there wasn't any kind of a review?
No explanation. I don't know. I did it in hopes of trying to get the first down. And I think they looked at it on video, and you know, I think the call was a good call. So, again, it's a game of inches. And, again, so many shoulda, coulda, wouldas that we're going to look back at this film and you know, feel even worse than we do right now. But, again, it's one game. Like I said, we're not going to try to blow this out of proportion, learn from it, and move on.
You mentioned the Arizona game and the pain that you took into the bye week and how your team responded in a positive way. How did you do that last year, and how do you try to duplicate that this year?
I mean, I think it's very similar feelings, you know, the way we lost both of these games. And, you know, typically you don't carry anything over from year to year, but we do have that type of experience going back to last year. And just coming out of the bye week, you know, really hungry, really ready. And, you know, we got to go and do that again. You know, we got to put this one behind us as quickly as we can, get our bodies back. I know we had a couple injuries tonight, so get back on track with those things. And, start looking to put together a game plan. I think we got Miami in 2 weeks.
Josh, everybody that's been on here so far has kind of said, look, if we can get 17 with the ball in his hands and a chance to win the game, we're going to do that. How much pride do you take in that, even though it comes up short today?
Yeah, I take a lot of pride in it. And you know, I love Coach McDermott for give me that opportunity, you know, and I got to go out there and prove them right. You know, sometimes the plays don't go your ways. They get paid on that side of the ball too. And like I said, they had a good game plan. That's a really good team. And hopefully we see them again, you know, because again, the way they're playing right now, you know, I expect them to, you know, make a run, and got a lot of respect for them.
So can you speak on that when the call comes down and it's, you know, we're trying to win the game right here, but Josh, you know, when you hear that, assuming that's something you're like, okay, yeah, let's do that.
Yeah, that's what you want. You want your coach to have that belief in you, and you know, who better to have the ball in their hands than 17 is the best player we got. So, you know, nobody's mad at anybody for any calls. You know, it just comes down to we got to execute better than they do, and we didn't. So,
I think you guys are clicking at like 50% in the red zone so far this season. Is there any common thread to the struggles? I mean, I know that you take things on your own shoulders, but is there anything in your film review from, you know, each of these games so far that you can pinpoint as to what's gone wrong or what's gone right in some instances?
I'd have to look at this film and see if there's any, you know, common factors. Ultimately, it comes down to execution, and it starts with me. So I got to be better with the ball in my hands, you know, and put us in a better position to try to score touchdowns instead of field goals. And, again, with a team like this, how good they are, you know, we know that's not going to cut it. So it's something that we got to focus on and learn from. And like I said, I got no doubt that this team will.
Josh, the final score aside, the feeling of this offense, you got people involved who aren't necessarily involved every week. Tommy Sweeney scores a touchdown. Diggs has one of his best games, Boyd's one of his best games. Can you just take us through the offense and getting this, getting everybody involved and how important that is for you?
You know, we moved the ball really well tonight. Again, just kind of taking what the defense gave me early on and allowing our guys to make some plays. And I think we did a good job with running after the catch, guys getting open, finding zones. You know, so when you kind of have that feeling of being able to move the ball and you kind of stall out there in the red zone, it's never a good feeling because, you know, we want to score points. That's our job, score touchdowns. And again, we just didn't do a good enough job with that tonight. But seeing some guys get involved, getting, you know, Cole back involved in the offense the way he played tonight was awesome. And we're going to continue to need that going forward.
Cole, you guys, from 6-0, you guys were kind of in control. They haven't done a thing. And when he broke that long touchdown run, was that kind of the signal that, I mean, I guess you knew it going in, but was that kind of the signal that, man, this is going to be a long slugfest of a night?
There were no thoughts like that. It's a one play at a time mentality. So, I mean, you never know how a game's going to play out. And, you know, we don't really focus on the other side of the ball. We just got to execute on our side and focus on what we have to do. And there were a lot of things we could have done better, you know, and you always feel that way in a game like this. But no, there were no thoughts about, like, if it was going to be a long game or not. We were just next play mentality.
Josh, you always talk about learning from whatever happens. So even though the drive didn't end the way you want, that circumstance, down, trying to drive, on the road, learning from that, it seemed to be a hard thing to replicate in any other way than actually what you just had. How big is that to at least learn from what you guys did today and help you going forward in those spots?
Yeah, two-minute situations, again, like you said, you can't replicate those in practice or in walkthroughs. We haven't been in many situations like that this year. So to kind of have that, again, everything you can learn from, you know, is a plus. I know, you know, we didn't win the game, but there's a lot to learn from that drive. You know, and we gotta work on it and move forward.
Cole, you had two targets in the first drive tonight. It looked like there was an emphasis to get me the ball. Did you know that was going to be part of the game plan? Did you come in motivated to make the most of every opportunity?
I mean, you never know how the game's really going to go. But, you know, I knew there would be a chance, so that's really all you can really look for. And you know, there's still some plays that I feel like I left out there. Me and Josh missed on a third down. That was crucial earlier in the game. So, you know.
Yeah, I mean, there's no excuse for it. They just out-executed us. You know, it's really not no other way to say it. You know, they just came out and out-executed us. And we just got to be better. You know, making our adjustments on the sideline, in-game things. We just got to be better communicating.
Does the defense start to wear down? I mean, obviously,
player, being active, tag on everybody. Visit geico.com/local.
Yeah, I wouldn't say wear down, but, you know, we preach all the time, make a team one-dimensional. You know, if they have success running the football, you know, that opens up the play-action game and pass game. So, you know, we got to be better, you know, stopping the run. You know, stopping the run, making one-dimensional, making put the ball in the air. And then, you know, we go out and make plays. You know, but when a team can do both, you know, obviously a team like that, you know, with a back like that, you know, it'd be hard to stop them. So, you know, we got to do better. Yeah, I mean, we take a lot of pride in that. We preach it day in, day out. You know, that's what win ball games. You got to be good in the red zone. Obviously, we wasn't good enough. And, you know, that starts with me. You know, I got to just make sure, you know, I'm communicating, making sure that we ready to go out there and play ball. And we'll get better with that. You know, I know the guys we got in the room. You know, nobody got their heads down, man. Obviously, we hurt. But obviously, we know the areas we got to get better at, man. And I got full confidence in them. And I know that we'll come back, bounce back, and, you know, we'll get better in those areas.
Pretty much dominated for the first quarter plus of this game, but we're only up 6-0, and then Eric had that one long run, and suddenly you're trailing. You obviously don't want to give up those big type of plays, but what's it like from an emotional standpoint when you guys have put so much effort in to have that lead and it just disappears in one instant?
Yeah, well, obviously we know the game of football is for four quarters. So, I mean, you can't just play good the first quarter, first half, or whatever it is, and think the game was over with. It's a four-quarter game. I mean, you got to bring that intensity each quarter, play in, play out, you know, and we just got to be better, you know, coming out, you know, second half, you know, we was getting gashed some, and we just got to be better, man. Like I said, all that stuff starts with me, man, making sure, you know, we got the guys ready to go out there and ball, and, you know, without a doubt in my mind, man, we'll get this corrected. We'll get back to the fan room, man, and, you know, we'll put that work in for sure.
Thanks, guys. Thanks. Thank you.
Up and down of an NFL game, man. You got to learn how to just flush it. Huge play, we thought, and then, you know, we knew we were going to have to go back out there and, offense did a hell of a job driving down. Coach made a hell of a call at the end. We're riding with that all day. We're setting 17th hand, QB sneak, just a tough one.
On offense, seem to be putting together longer drives than they were in the first half.
I don't want to say they were necessarily doing something better. I at the end of the day, we didn't play well enough on defense to win that football game. We'll go tomorrow, watch the tape, learn from our mistakes. You know, that was a good football team that we lost to. But at the end of the day, we just didn't play well enough to win.
The last few times you've gotten against Henry, you guys have done a really good job on him. Tonight, I know he's a great player. What was it tonight that helped him get loose?
We let him out a few times. And when that happens, I mean, you watch it on film. You can watch all the games on film and know once he gets, you know, through that front line, it's hard to bring him down. And he got through a few times. And from there, the guy's huge, the guy's fast. You got to find a way to get him down.
That first round play was on me.
It was on everybody. Bad angle.
Ran belly kick. I was in the gap. I just felt like I could have made the play. You know, he hit me, ran right through the gap. You know, I just got to make that play.
Can you give us, maybe elaborate on your thoughts on the last play of the game there and why you like that?
We trust our team. We trust our coaches. We trust 17. Like, I mean, I'm with Coach 10 out of 10 times if he wants to go for that.
Yep.
You know, we win as a team. We lose as a team. And, you know, at the end of the day, Coach made that call, and we was all riding with him. And, we just came up a little short.
How much of it is the element of pride, and you know you're a good team, and you like that play because you want to be put in that position as players?
I mean, just like Poe just said, we call it pride, call it whatever you want. You know, with the ball in 17's hand, 4th and 1. Like I said, Sean made a hell of a call, and we're riding with that all day.
From a ton of Bills there. You've heard from Josh Allen, Cole Beasley. You heard from Tremaine Edmonds. And to boot there at the end, you heard from Micah Hyde and Jordan Poyer. Before we go for the evening, let's take a quick look at the next game. And it's brought to you by Atwell Eye Care, the official eye care provider of the Buffalo Bills. A bye week on deck, and maybe no better timing for a bye week after a tough loss to sit on. When they come back from the bye week on Halloween, the Bills will face off at home against the Miami Dolphins to finish up that season series. They're coming off a loss to the, at the time, winless Jacksonville Jaguars. So should be an interesting matchup for the Bills. That's going to do it back here for me in our Amherst studios for this network pregame. Appreciate Corey Griswold for your hard work tonight. And after a bye week, you'll hear me on Buffalo Bills pregame in 2 weeks on Sunday morning for a 1 p.m. kick. So for me, Nate Geary, all of us here back in our network controls, we appreciate you listening tonight. This is Buffalo Bills football.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.